Well, it is indeed a blessing and a privilege to be here this morning and to share together. As we thought about Ben and Becky's move, I couldn't help but think, you know, life is a journey. And so many times in this journey of life, we find ourselves at crossroads. And it's my prayer that when I find myself at those crossroads, that I'm holding up my hand and saying, Father, would you take it? Would you guide me? Would you lead me a step at a time? I can tell you with confidence that when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, to do that, he will do his part. This morning, the message that I want to share with us is out of Joshua chapter 1. You can turn your Bibles to that as well, out of Joshua chapter 1. And maybe just an overview on this chapter. It's a chapter that is very dear to my heart. It's a chapter that I find myself going to when I need encouragement, when I'm fearful, when I feel like, God, where are you at? Maybe when the lights go out and everything seems dark and I need to hear God's voice. God, where are you at? And as when I look at this passage, it's just a reminder of God's faithfulness. We serve a faithful God this morning. It's a reminder that God has a plan for each of our lives. And it's a reminder, do not fear. God is faithful. God has a plan. Do not fear. Here in Joshua, we have an extremely important passage of Scripture. It's very significant. You see, it was a crucial time for God's people. It represents a monumental time in history. You see, God made a promise to Abraham earlier in Genesis. What did he say? He took him out and he said, Abraham, look up at the stars. Can you count them? And he said, so will your descendants be. And then a little bit later, he said, look at this land. This land I will give to you. I will give to your descendants. And of course, we know the story how Moses leads the people out of Egypt and into Exodus. And here we are in this passage this morning. Here we are 40 years after that. And here Joshua is standing on the banks of the Jordan River. Moses had just died and Israel was about to enter into the land that was promised them 700 years previous. You know, I can't imagine what was going through Joshua's mind as he stood there on the banks and as he looked across at that promised land. I'm sure he had to remember 40 years previously how he and along with the other 11 spies went into the land to check it out, to spy it out, and how they came back, 12 spies, 10 with a bad report. And they said, as they looked at the obstacles, as they looked at all the challenges, they said, we can't do it. It's too big. But what did Joshua and Caleb say? With God's help, we are able. We can do it. You know the story. They didn't enter, and they wandered in the desert for 40 years. And now Moses had died. And God has called Joshua to be Moses' successor. Wow, talk about big shoes to fill. And here's Joshua standing on the banks of that Jordan River. And God is going to commission him to enter into the promised land. And God is right there beside him. He is right there speaking to him, giving him direct revelation, leading him every step of the way. In this passage, we get to listen to the conversation, so to speak, that God had with Joshua. I'm going to ask you to stand for the reading of God's word this morning. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them. The children of Israel, every place that the sole of your feet will tread upon, I have given you. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. Verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You may be seated. The title of the message this morning is Be Strong and Be Courageous. And you know, I just want to remind us this morning that whatever obstacles that we face in life, whatever challenges we face in life, God has a plan. He's not forgotten about us. He's not forgotten about you. He's not forgotten about me. You see, as I look at this passage here and I look at these first two verses, well, let me just say this. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass the Lord spoke to Joshua. You know, there's a lot of voices today speaking to us. And I just want to remind us, we need to hear the voice of God in our lives. Amen? We need to hear the voice of God in our lives. But here, we see, you know, I can't help but think, here they are on the banks of the Jordan River, ready to cross, and Moses dies. Now, I don't know about you, but if I would have been in that camp, I would be saying, God, what in the world are you up to? Is that not bad timing? I mean, we're just ready to cross, and Moses dies. We lose our leader. But I want to remind us this morning that not one detail was taking place here that caught God by surprise. Not one detail caught God by surprise. You see, it was all a part of God's plan. God had a plan in place. It was all a part of God's plan. They wandered in the desert for 40 years. It was all a part of God's plan. The previous generation had all died. It was all a part of God's plan. Moses had died. Joshua is the new leader. You see, it was all a part of God's plan. They were going to cross over this Jordan. Again, it was a part of God's plan. You see, God is actively working. He had a plan. He was actively working. And I want to remind us this morning as believers, when it seems like things go dark, and we're at a crossroads, and we say, God, what are you up to? What are you doing? I want to remind us, first and foremost, that God has not forgotten about you. He's not forgotten about me. He has a plan. Not one detail takes place in our lives. God has a plan for each of us. God has a plan. He is actively working. You see, God called Joshua to step out in faith. You see, God was preparing his people for something that would result for his good and his glory, but also for their good and for their benefit. Question, what is God preparing you for at this moment in your life? What are you doing with your heart today that when God places something scary, something challenging, something really big in front of you, what are you doing with your heart today, so that you are prepared to step out in faith and to follow God, to put your trust in Him. You see, we will continue to face situations in all of life where we don't know what's out ahead. Are we people of faith? Are you walking by faith this morning? When I look at the children of Israel in this account, you see, faithlessness would be, let's go back to where it's safe. Faithfulness is, let's go forward to where God is leading. God is a faithful God. We can trust Him. We can put our faith, our confidence in God this morning. He will never let you down. Put your faith, your confidence in God. You see, God is actively working. The second point that I would give you this morning is in verses 3 and 4. And that is God's provision. First is God's plan. And then verse 3 and 4 here, I see God's provision. And may I add, divine provision of God for His people. What does He say here? Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. As I said to Moses from the wilderness, and he goes on from the Lebanon, he says, I have given you. You see, notice the tense there. He says, I have given you. It's like it's already happened. Now, if I'm Josh, I'm thinking, you know what? Yeah, God, but I'm still on this side of the Jordan. He says, I have given you. As I said to Moses, the provisions of God. You see, it's already done. It's like God is going before him. He's saying, trust me. And you know, when I think about our lives, do you see the provision of God in your life? Do I see the provision of God in my life? Here, he says, I have given you. So I was with, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. It's like God is saying, he's reminding Joshua, look at my faithfulness. Look how I was with Moses, how I walked with you. So I will be, as I walk with Moses, I will be with you. I believe God is reminding him, look at my faithfulness, look at my character, look at my reputation. I am Yahweh. Look to me. God's provision. Do we understand that God has made provision for us? 2 Peter 1:3, and I'm just going to read these verses this morning. 2 Peter 1:3 says this, according to his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. You see, God has given us all things. He has given us his Holy Spirit to guide us, to direct us, to show us the way. We can hold out our hand with confidence and say, Father, would you lead me? Would you guide me by the power of your Spirit? The provision of God. Again, God is a faithful God. He provides for his people. The third point that I see here in verse 5, we see God's promise. God's promise here in verse 5. He says, no man shall be able to stand before you. Can it get any more clear than that? He tells Joshua, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. Again, promises, the promises of God. Here I see in verse 5, the promises. He says, no man shall be able to stand before you. That's a promise. As I was all the days of your life, promise. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you, promise. I will not leave you, promise. I will not forsake you. Do you see the promises of God here for Joshua? I want to remind us that God's word is full of promises for us as believers. Just do a Google search, promises of God, and look what comes up. Do we believe the promises of God? God cares about us. So we see God's plan, God's provision, God's promise here in verse 5. Now we see, well, let me just say this yet, thinking about the promises of God. Does God ever leave you? Now I'm talking to believers here, okay, who have a testament of God working in their lives. But does God ever leave you? It feels like it sometimes, doesn't it? Sometimes it feels like, God, where are you at? Did you forget about me? Does God ever forsake you? And again, I would say sometimes it feels that way. But I want to remind us this morning that the feeling of God leaving or forsaking you doesn't lie in the character of God. God is a faithful God. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Matthew 28, there, the closing verses of the chapter says, Lo, I am with you always. Lo, I am with you always. Are you living your life in such a way that you demonstrate that promise this morning? And you know, when we believe that, when we believe the promises of God, what does it produce in a person when believed? Confidence and assurance and trust, belief and victory. The promises of God. The fourth point that I will give you here is God's prerequisite in verse 6. God's prerequisite in verse 6. Now, a prerequisite is a prior condition, something required in advance for something else to happen. Here he says in verse 6, You be strong and of good courage. For this people you shall divide inheritance, the land which I swore to their fathers. He's saying, Joshua, you be strong. Joshua, you be courageous. Joshua, listen up. Listen to what I'm telling you. Joshua, be strong. Be courageous. I've told you I won't leave you. I've told you my plan. Look at my history. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you, Joshua. He says, now Joshua, go, be strong, be courageous. And I want to show us this morning, remind us that the call to be strong and courageous is sandwiched between the promise that God will be with him. He's saying, fear not. Be strong, be courageous, fear not. You know, think about this with Joshua. Here he was, standing on the banks of this Jordan River. Now, if I'm Joshua, what about that Jordan River? How am I going to get across that? And oh, by the way, God, when we get across, I think there's seven nations waiting to take my head off. God said, be strong, be courageous, look to me, trust me. Be strong, be courageous. He was exhorting Joshua, do not fear, but be fearless. Do not fear, but be fearless. I want to remind us here that as I look at this passage, you see, it's the passing of an heir, but not the ending of a promise. It's the passing of an heir, but not the ending of a promise. You know, I want you to think about something. What did God not tell Joshua? What did he not tell Joshua? God did not say, now Joshua, you look within yourself. You look within yourself, and I'm sure you can figure this out. God doesn't tell Joshua to be confident. No, he doesn't say be confident, Joshua, in your own ability. He says, trust me. You see, God calls Joshua to remember his promises, his character, to remember the provision that God had provided in the past. And here we see that Joshua cannot move forward timid and afraid. And believer, neither can you. We cannot move forward timid and afraid, at least not in the will of God. Second Timothy 1:7 says it this way, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." God has not given us a spirit of fear. If you are timid, if you are fearful this morning, you can be assured that is not from God. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6 says it this way, "I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that we may boldly say, 'The Lord is my helper, I will not fear.'" And again, so many times in life, I find myself, when it seems like the lights have gone out, and I find myself fearful. God, what's up ahead? Can I trust you? What are you doing? I want to remind us that we can put our faith, our confidence in God. He is trustworthy. Put your faith and confidence in God. You see, God has not forgotten about you. He's not forgotten about me. He has a plan. He has a plan. We see God's provision, God's promises, and I would suggest they're for us today. God's prerequisite. The next one that I want to give you is God's precepts. God's precepts. And I see this in verse 7. "Only be strong and very courageous." You see the intensifier there. "Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it, from the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." You see, what God is communicating to Joshua here in this passage is exactly what Joshua needed to hear at that moment. And I would propose for the church today, this is the message that God wants us to hear today, for the church today. Now, when I say a precept is a rule or principle prescribing a particular course of action. Here, God commands Joshua to obey the word of God and points him to the law. He says, "Walk in obedience. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left." You see, the success of Joshua's mission would be, and it would lie in his personal obedience to the law. Joshua is being commissioned by God, and he's receiving direct revelation from God. And what does God tell him? "Look at my word. Look at my law. Look what I have given you." He tells Joshua to look at my word and to obey it. He doesn't tell him to look for some kind of emotional experience. He doesn't tell him to look for some kind of sign. God had done that at times in the past, but he didn't do that here. He tells Joshua, "Look at my word and obey it. Obey my word." Here, God tells him the key to success in this commission is to obey my word. Allow it to be your guide and rule for your life. Do not turn from the left or to the right. Don't go outside of what I had given you. The importance of God's word. He directed Joshua to his word. Joshua's mission would lie in his personal obedience to the law of God. It was a law already written at the time and was held to be authoritative. God pointed him to his law, to what he had written. So in this passage, we see the priority God's word was to have in Joshua's life. And if this was true for Joshua, is it not true for us today? Fill your heart and your mind with the Word of God. Obey it. What priority does the Word of God have in your life and in my life? Spurgeon said, Bibles that are falling apart usually belong to people who are not. I like that. Here, verse 7 and 8, it starts off with obedience and ends with obedience to God's word. As it was for Joshua, it's just as important for us today to obey God's word. You know, I trust your heart today is to be biblical, to stand on God's word, to stand on the authority of God's holy word, to allow it to be the guide and the rule of your life. You know, today we hear a lot about worship, and I appreciate worship. I appreciate singing and praising the Lord. If you would have been in my bathroom this morning, you would have heard the CD turned up really loud and cranking, and I was just worshiping the Lord as I was getting ready. I hope you're okay with that, Vernon. I appreciate worship, but you know, I want to suggest to you this morning that the greatest form of worship is when we sit down and read God's word with the intent to obey it. If you are called to a radical place of belief, and I'd like to think that we are radical believers, radical New Testament believers, people that have been turned around by conversion, walking a new life by the power of God. We walk differently because we met God in a mighty way. I trust that is your testimony this morning, that you met God in a mighty way. You know what it is to be born again. But if you are called to a place of radical belief, then you are also called to a place of radical obedience. What priority does the word have on your life? How important is it to you? May we be committed to obeying God's holy word. May we be committed to walking in obedience. May each of us have a renewed desire to be faithful, to be obedient to the word of God in our hearts and in our lives. What is the best way to be obedient to the word of God? Don't let it depart from your mouth. What does he say here? Talks about meditating on God's word. Meditate on it day and night. In other words, it should be in you. It should be a part of you. You know, sometimes we want the Holy Spirit to pull out verses at the right time, but if we don't put it in there, how can he pull it out? God's word should be in us. It should be a part of us. It should be who we are. God tells Joshua to meditate on the word of God. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but meditate. What does it mean to meditate? Meditate is defined by Webster's as to think deeply. The application is to read with thoughtfulness, to linger over God's word, to ponder, muse, involving half aloud reading and rereading God's word. In the Hebrew language, meditate means to chew, digest, allow it to become a part of you. Meditate on God's word. What would happen in our spiritual lives if we took that verse seriously and we meditate on God's holy word? God's word is a gold mine. The more you meditate, the more goodness you get out of it. God tells Joshua, meditate on my word. 2 Timothy 2:15, talking about the importance of God's word to us as believers, says it this way: study to show thyself approved unto God. Well, let me read what the Amplified. The Amplified puts it this way: study and be eager, do your utmost to present yourself to God, approved, tested by trial, a workman who has no cause to be ashamed, correctly analyzing and accurately dividing, rightly handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. Talking about the importance of God's word in our lives. I want to encourage us this morning that we walk in obedience to the holy word of God, that we meditate on it. that we base our faith, our life, our practice on the Word of God. I want to encourage us, dig deep into God's Word, and by all means, obey it. Something else that I want you to see in this passage that I believe is very important in this verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. What does God mean there? Make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. I don't believe God's talking about financial success here. I don't believe God is telling Joshua that when you cross over and you enter the promised land, that I am going to give you palaces and riches and all of this stuff. I don't believe that's what God had in mind here. I don't believe that's what God was saying here. God did not tell everyone to cross over the Jordan and enter into the promised land, and then you will be prosperous. God said, I believe what God is saying here is, my will for my people at this time is to cross the Jordan and enter the promised land. And if you know this, and if you act upon it, and you are obedient to me, then you will be successful. In other words, if you act upon my word and you do what I say, you will be aligned with my will. If you act upon my word and you do what I say, you will be aligned with my will. I believe that is biblical success. Biblical success is doing what God asked me to do at that moment. That is biblical success. Following God, being obedient to what he asked you to do at that moment in your life. Biblical success is being what God wants you to be. I'll remind us this morning that the clearest expression of God's will, the clearest expression of God's will for you is found right here in God's Word, in God's holy Word. Know it. Meditate on it. Study it. By all means, live it. And you will find yourself experiencing biblical success. The last point that I want to give you here briefly is verse 9, but it's God's power. So here we see God's plan, God's provision, God's promise, God's prerequisite, God's precepts, and now finally in verse 9, God's power. He says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Have I not commanded you? You see, it's a rhetorical question. It's a question that demands a response. I want to remind us this morning, as radical New Testament believers, as we read God's word, it demands a response. Amen? The Jamaicans would have been all over that. Amen. Have I not commanded you? It demands a response. Oh, yes, God. I hear your voice. Yes, God. I hear your voice. I want to listen. I want to obey. Yes, I will allow you to take my hand and to guide me a step at a time. And you know, in this passage, we get to look ahead a couple of chapters and see what happens. Is it chapter 3? Here they are. They're standing on the banks of that Jordan. God gave very specific instructions. He said they were supposed to step into the water, those that were carrying the ark. Now, I don't know about you, John, but I might have been one of those guys that stood right on the edge and waited for God to move. The waters didn't part until they stepped into the water. Later, in their conquest in the land of Canaan, where did they come to? They came to Jericho. They came to Jericho. What did God tell them? A walled city. God told them, he gave specific instructions on how to take that city. He gave very detailed instructions. And I want to remind us this morning that it was God's power and their obedience that brought down those walls. It was God's power and their obedience that brought down those walls. I want to remind us this morning that battles are not won by large armies. Battles are not won by human strength. Battles are won by the power of God. Battles are won by divine power. What battles are you fighting in your life right now? And what power are you looking to in that battle? God is saying, I am all powerful. Be strong. Be courageous. Do not fear. Trust me. If God is with you, who can be against you? If God is with us, who can be against us? I want to remind us this morning that the power of God is greater than anything that you or I will face in life. Amen? The power of God is greater than anything that you and I will face in life. I want to remind us this morning that when it feels like things are out of control in your life, and it feels like the lights went out, and it feels like it's dark, and you cry out, God, what are you doing? What are you up to? I want to remind us that God has a plan. He's not forgotten about you. God has a plan. He is actively working, even when I don't always see it. He is actively working. I want to encourage us to read God's word, to walk in obedience to God's word, to have a renewed zeal, a renewed enthusiasm, to get excited about God's word, to read it, to meditate on it, to apply it in our hearts and in our lives. When it feels like things are out of control, God has a plan. I'd like everyone just to bow their heads this morning. I want to ask a few questions that I'd like you to just open up your heart to God this morning. Allow him, by his Spirit, to speak to you. Do you understand? Do you believe that God has a plan for your life, even when I can't see it? Do you believe God is actively working? What is God preparing you for at this moment in your life? Maybe God is calling you to step out in faith, to trust him. I don't know. Maybe God is calling you. Maybe he's showing you the importance of obedience, obeying God's word. Is it your desire to be biblical, to stand on the authority of God's holy word this morning, to walk in obedience? Is it your testimony? Is your heart's cry to base your life on the word of God? As you ponder those questions, as God speaks to you, I'd just like to invite you, if God has spoken to your heart, and this morning you just want to say, yes, God, I hear your voice. I say yes to you in any of these areas. If God's spoken to your heart this morning, I just want to invite you just to raise your hand. I want to have a word of prayer for you. Anyone at all this morning, just raise your hand. Yes. Yes. Father, this morning we thank you for your holy word. I'm so thankful, Father, that you've given us your word, our manual for life. And Father, I'm so thankful that we can walk by the power and the authority of your word in our hearts and our lives. Father, it's our desire It's our desire to base our faith, our life, our practice on your written word, to be obedient. Father, I pray, Father, for those that have raised their hands this morning, Father, those that said, yes, God, you spoke to my heart. And Father, whatever it is that you've spoken to them, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would just meet them in a very real and a special way. Father, that you would remind them that you've not forgotten about them, that you got a plan, that you got a purpose. Father, they can trust your promises. They can trust your word. Father, would you touch them this morning? Would you minister to their very souls? Father, I lift up this church here, this body at Willow Street called Life Fellowship. Father, I pray that you would continue to pour out your spirit, that you would continue to pour out your ways, your will, your direction for each person, for each part of this dear body, Father. God, I pray again that we would just allow you to guide us by the power of your spirit. Father, that we would be people, Lord, that hold out our arms, hold out our hands, and say, Father, here I am again. Lord, it's dark. I don't know what all's out ahead, but would you take me by the hand? Would you guide me a step at a time? Father, I'm thankful that you are a faithful God. It is in the name of Jesus. We praise you. We thank you for who you are. Amen. Amen.